Let's open our Bibles to Psalms. I think today, I want to do two Psalms. Psalms 96 and Psalms 109. Psalms 96 is a psalm of worship, and we are here to worship. Today, again, is a special day, and so I've set aside my message that I had for today and just want to focus again on the events of this day and this week again. I spent some time in prayer and fasting last week for our country, and we need to do that probably again this week. I just lift up this country. Let's look at this psalm of worship. And again, start to make sure we do have some worship in our service today. And then I want to look at, again, the evil, again, that's crept into America and showed its ugly face very brazenly. And understand that we have, again, much to concern ourselves with for the course of our nation. But praise the Lord, we know the Savior, and we know the final chapters, even of our own nation here. And so as we look again at all that's going on in our society, I just want to speak very bluntly about some things that I think are important for us to recognize as Christians. And I've even heard some railings again from Baptist churches railing against Charlie Kirk. He might not be the same stripe as we, but he's got the same Savior as we. And he was very outspoken about that Savior. His organization, Turning Point, as I heard in the news this week, started with 900 chapters at his assassination. And now there are 3,700 new applications to start chapters. Those chapters are started on the Word of God. Those chapters are started on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His name and for His purposes. And so, again, we hit a lot of bad information about what's going on with Turning Point. And again, I just want that we would bathe that thing in prayer and understand that it has a power, again, a movement, as it were, to make a difference. Those 900 chapters were predominantly in colleges across America, and that's a lot of chapters. But the new chapters, 3,700 new chapters starting, again, with applications right now. I'm sure after today there'll be even more. But they're starting in a lot of K through 12 schools, as Dave mentioned, even one starting here in New York State. And so, again, to understand that the real problem in our nation is not just our colleges. There are, I listed out 15 teachers teaching our children's teachers that were fired because of their celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And so that's 15 that I knew of, again, that I saw in the news and listed out, of a public high school or public school teachers, not even just high school, that were fired for publicly, out loud, and outlandishly celebrating the assassination. So the evil that is inflicted in our country is big, and it is embedded in our whole education system. And we don't know what it would take to weed all that out, but God does, okay? And so that's why we want to call on Him and look for great things even in this day. Let's look at what we're here for today, and that is for worship. This is one of the coronation psalms, and I've always loved it. And I wanted again to go ahead and start here and put an emphasis on the fact that we need to worship on a Sunday. We gather on the first day of the week, because of what Christ did for us on the cross and the fact that God rose him from the tomb victorious over death on the first day of the week. That's a Sunday. And the Sunday is not the Catholic Sabbath day. It is the Lord's Day. I like that term. And it belongs to him. 8 in the Bible is a number of new beginnings. And so the 8th day of the week here is a new covenant celebration of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And it is the Lord's Day that we worship him even for what he has done. So I'm going to leave you seated because I'm going to stumble through this psalm a little bit and look at some thoughts that we have from God's holy word. So let's look at Psalms 96. It says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people." Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for this church. I thank you that it has been a lighthouse. And Father, that it has lifted up your word above all other things here to again proclaim it as the way of salvation. Thank you again, Father, for the street preaching that's gone out of this church, the soul winning, the door knocking. I thank you again, Father, for all that's been done in your name in these past 34 years out of this little church here. Father, thank you again now that we could praise you and read of here the responsibility given to us to sing unto the Lord, to sing unto Jehovah, to sing unto you. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you. We thank you for our song service, such as it is, and such as we can do without a piano. And Father, I'll praise you again and thank you that you've put a song in our heart, at least. Help again that we get it out. And Father, that we could again sing praises to your name, not just on Sunday morning song service, but all through the week. Father, that we could lift up song with your name in it. And we'll praise you again and thank you for your touch on our worship here this morning. Thank you for the ability to declare your glory among the heathen.
Yes.
Father, help us to never forget we're dwelling among the heathen. Thank you again that we could declare your glory to all the world. We pray that you'd help us with that. I thank you for our missions outreach that does reach into all the world. And pray, Father, again that you'd help each of us in that regard to be your witnesses to all the world. Father, we love you and thank you again for this psalm just now. And I pray that you touch each piece of it, each aspect of it, and cause again, Father, that we could worship you in the name of Christ. Amen. For the Lord is great, verse 4. And greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
Whoa.
For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. I like that verse. I like again to understand that God is the creator. And with that creation description, I like to make sure we understand that he said that he created everything in 6 days. The universe, every star, all the hosts of heaven, everything that we see, everything that is, was created in 6 days. God said so. And we believe it. There's no gap in Genesis chapter 1. There's no gap, again, that allows that Satan was created earlier and that there was a whole antediluvian civilization before God created this universe in 6 days. So very clearly here we believe the God's word and we believe in a six-day creation.
Yep.
How much evolution is involved in that?
None.
As much evolution is involved as that as God would lie about in his creation account. And God did not lie to us in his creation account. God created everything that is in 6 days. And all the world and all his existence was created in that 6 days. Not only that, but man was created in his image. And then male and female created he them. And the very first day in the universe where man existed was a day of rest with God. And so there on that seventh day, God rested. The day after he created man in his image, he rested and dwelt with man. And that was his purpose through all of creation. Whoa. We still have a seven-day week. There's been a lot of forces that have tried to do away with the seven-day week. Even Russia, with all of its communist power, was not able to get rid of a seven-day week. But they sure did try, all right. And again, there's 7 day gestation periods of creatures of God's earth. And there's gestation periods of humans, of animals, of creatures, and God's creation are not measured in months nor days, but always in weeks. Because God has again created this world in a 7 day block of time. And again, he is the creator. Notice that there are other gods, sure enough, that man has made gods, and they are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. And notice again, that's just not the people that it's talking to. It's all the kindreds of the people, all generations.
Yeah.
And again, understand from the Word of God that all generations have the Word of God available to them. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Whoa. There was a time when they brought an offering, a lamb or a goat, into the courts of God. Today we bring an offering of thanksgiving. And again, that's called out in Hebrews chapter 13 that we are to bring a offering of thanksgiving to him. And again, one of the first downfalls of man in Romans chapter 1, the steps away from God is a people that were not thankful. And so we notice again that we have to bring an offering and come into his courts. And then look at verse 9. I hope you got it circled or underlined in your Bible. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. There's a mistaken idea that the word fear doesn't mean fear at all. It means reverence. And even a lot of the modernist Bible took the fear out and put reverence in. So again, understand fear means fear. Fear means that we're to fear. Again, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a mighty God. David, remember when Uriah was struck dead, David was angry at the Lord. Next verse, David feared the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yep.
And there needs to be a fear in
right.
of the Lord. I heard, again, I was a youth pastor for years, and boy, we had some rallies where young people came in droves for salvation because they were feared of hell. And they're justified to be afraid of hell. And if a person comes to Christ because they're afraid of hell, listen, they're no less saved than someone who got saved because they wanted a different life. Again, understand that the condemnation we get out of in salvation brings us into a unity with God, and that fear of judicial punishment is gone, praise the Lord. But we're still to have a fear for God, a fear and a reverence. Verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, and that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. I like to spend a lot of time in October. We have now, this will be our 28th year for a hump for the last October. So we could know that there is a judge coming, that there is a judgment coming upon this earth, and that there are things given in that prophecy where we are to comfort one another with these things, to understand that we know the last picture. I've talked to several. Say, well, just reading in Revelation just confuses people. It might confuse people, but it dare not confuse a believer. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, hello. And so again, to understand that we are given again to know that there is a judge coming. Look at verse 10. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. He's going to reign. There's going to be a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And we need even a holy boldness to say that to the heathen. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord for the... Let me read that again. There's an ugly verse break right there that oughtn't be there. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. Dot, dot. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So as we read that psalm again, it sets up very clearly our responsibility as his witnesses. But it also sets up very clearly that there's a purpose, there's a coming, there's an end. And it's not an apocalypse. An apocalypse is an end of destruction. It's not an end of destruction. It's an end of victory in Jesus Christ. And so notice here again, we have this tremendous psalm of worship and praise. It was a coronation psalm again to recognize that God is going to be king. Hold your place there in Psalms and then turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 6. It's very important to read these verses because, again, we are in a war down here. And there is victory in Jesus, but there is a battle going on in this country. And I thought it'd be good to rehearse some of what we covered with the soldier, the picture of the soldier we had up here with all of his armor. And look again at Ephesians chapter 6. And let's start in verse 12. Gives a definition again that ought to have come to mind even this week when we see senators of the United States cheering and jeering because of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That's just vile. That's just awful. We see the House broke in into a yelling match about whether there should be prayer in the House of Representatives. And again, all the Democrats stormed out against it. If you want to choose sides, you could use a good thing right there. Would choose whose side who's on right there. To understand that they're against prayer in the House of Representatives. And those that called for prayer were shouted down, and again, the house broke out in riot. And so again, to understand that there is an evil in high places in our own country here. And we want to call it what it is. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." And so that's not flesh and blood yet. That's still talking again about the principalities and those powers, those demon angels. There's devil angels again. They're ruling. The opposers of God. Satan means the opposer of God. And then notice when it goes on and says against the rulers of darkness of this world. Then it says against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I call out that we in America have spiritual wickedness in high places. I look at the nations of the world, and even the United Nations, which is not united. The United Nations, again, has put out statement after statement, declaration after declaration, that opposes God and the opposition of God. And so there are rulers across the world in high places. And so again, to understand that, that this thing is bigger than you and I. This is a big deal. This is spiritual wickedness in high places. This is rulers of the darkness of this whole world. And then it says in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." I'll not go through that list of armor, but I do want to bring out, again, the two offensive weapons that we do have.
Breastplate of righteousness.
Praise the Lord. We've got all of those things, again, in our favor. And if you're a born-again Christian, you have that breastplate of righteousness. And we're to put on all of that armor. But look at verse 18. Well, look at verse 17. It says, taking the helmet of salvation. And the helmet is to protect our head. That does not mean we don't get salvation on until we get to verse 17. We already looked at that. A helmet is to protect our head. And listen, I know my head needs protecting. I know, man, I've been so angry this past week and a half. Many a time that I just go to the Lord. And you can be angry and sin not. And again, I believe it's good to be angry right now with what's going on with the direction of our country. I think Dave mentioned that you can only watch so much TV before you have a fit of anger. And it doesn't take very much right this week. But again, to understand here that we have, we need to ask God to protect our mind just now. But then it says the sword of the Spirit. And then to make sure we can't miss it, it says, which is the Word of God. And so we have the Word of God. Charlie Kirk had the Word of God. He used it meticulously and carefully again. He rightly divided it. He was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And his organization, Turning Point, has a main baseline again that it's all to do about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And so, again, in that regard, I'm just delighted that there are chapters springing up that will be founded on this weapon right here, the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is a weapon that we use. And again, understand the use of that. Understand that all your persuasive arguments that we give to somebody don't really matter a hoot if we don't get them the Word of God. That's what's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we hide it in our heart, not only so that we might not sin against God, but so that we could, again, give it to others and be His witnesses. And then verse 18, I said there's two offensive weapons here. And again, look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That we could again have a godly conversation about the course of this nation is an important step in our life. And that we could again just acknowledge that God needs to do something in our lives. What can we do without God?
Nothing.
Nothing. We can't accomplish nothing. And very honestly, I've attempted many things just based on knowledge, based on what I've learned and what I know. Boy, if you leave out the Spirit of God, if you leave out the Word of God. Again, I spent my 23 years in the military. I enjoyed every ounce of every argument that I got into. But again, you learn quickly that that your arguments, your logic, again, doesn't weigh very much if you separate it from the Word of God. It is the Word of God that changes hearts and lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking through His Word, is a tool that we have in our attack, in our defense, in our use against the gates of hell that we're warring against. Now let's do this. I've never done this before, but in a couple minutes we have left before the funeral starts today at 1, and I wanted to get us out in time to get to that. Psalm 109 in your Bibles. This is called an imprecatory psalm. And for a long time, I did not know what to do with these psalms. There are several of them. I listened to a podcast by my grandson. I have this tendency to do that quite often as I can. And he was going through, I forgot which psalm it was now, but he was going through a psalm and he says, "Now this don't apply to me at all." And it never has, and I never could imagine it will. But every time you read a psalm and find something that don't apply exactly to you, understand it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it fits Him. And again, that those that have reared up their head and stroven to kill Charlie Kirk and end that Turning Point organization, listen, that is an assault on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And again, so when we read this psalm here, understand that there are some punishments called out to those who would again oppose God and oppose His only begotten Son. And so let's just go ahead and look at them here through the 31 verses of Psalm 109. "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me, and they have spoken against me with a lying tongue." That's not just Charlie Kirk in that right there, me. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is an opposition against God, against His Word, against His judgments, against His statutes. And again, Charlie Kirk was assassinated by a sodomite who did it because he was a sodomite. And he said so. And so again, there is what they try to call an alphabet soup or a transgender movement in our nation. And it in itself should be declared a terrorist group. They are opposed and want to stomp out any dissent. And God is a dissenter. Okay, God had called a sodomy an abomination. And again, it still is, no matter how man tries to pacify it as an alternate lifestyle. It is not that. No matter what man pretends, and now for the past years under Joe Biden, there was a government that tried to make me forcefully make me cooperate in someone else's fantasy that that he is really a she. And they try to force us to call them by the she name when we know very well it's a he. And again, when they pass laws and pass judgments in our nation that try to force us to do that, and if we don't cooperate with their fantasy, misled, perverted fantasy, then they're going to charge us with hate speech. Listen, there's something seriously wrong with our nation for the past 15 years at least that has leaned into that stuff. And it is sodomy, and it is vile, and it is evil. And the people that are tangled up in it are lost, and they need a Savior. But the people that are heading it up and pushing it down our throats are agitators. They are evil. They are vile. They're opposing God. So understand that difference again. Just because someone's tangled into sodomy doesn't necessarily make him the enemy of God. But again, he's practicing a destructive lifestyle and he needs to be saved. He needs to hear about the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just like here, we try to be careful to understand that we don't hate Catholics, but I hate Catholicism. And the same thing is true here, that again, we shouldn't hate sodomites, but we should understand that there is a movement, there is a development now, and they're trying to take on the idea of transsexuals, that you can be anything you want to be, and it doesn't, it's all in rebellion against God. And again, they're preaching a lie. They're telling a lie against me with lying tongues. Verse 3, they compassed me about also with words of hatred. I couldn't believe the number of people, even of Democrats, even of political leaders, that told that Charlie Kirk was one who hated, that he was the hatred problem and he was the hater. And it's testified over and over again that he was in Christ and there was not an ounce of hate in him. And boy, you can see it and you know it. When I first came here to Good Samaritan Baptist Church and my first trip around Dresden, there was three homes that, and I still remember them, you don't forget something like that told me to get off their property. That church preaches nothing but hate. And as much as I wanted to get some questions answered about what are you talking about? Understand, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to hate you. And also, they're going to accuse you of hatred. And that's exactly what's happened here. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me. Place the Lord Jesus Christ in there. Yay, you could place Charlie Kirk in there today. Without a cause. For my love, they were adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. Boy, I like that line. I've underlined it. And we need to do that. Give ourselves unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. Yikes. Satan being the opposer of God. Verse 7, when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. There was men, and I heard some of them. I even heard some Black Baptist preachers, again, stand in their pulpit and pray against God, against Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's appalling what's going on in our country. It's appalling the direction of our country. Let his prayer become sin. I've heard several prayers these past week and a half that are nothing but vile, evil sin. Prayer for more assassinations. Prayer for, again, a destruction of the whole organization that Charlie Kirk stood for. Prayer again repeatedly. Let it become sin. Verse 8. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. That there is speaking then to those who hold an office. I can't understand the hatred that poured out on the streets, and people that shook their fist at Charlie Kirk. But that's boggling enough. But when elected officials or public school teachers stand out and spew hatred about what's going on here in our country and call it again and lay it at the feet of Charlie Kirk, let his days be few and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his widow or wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabond and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. I wouldn't ask this for everybody, but I had some people in mind and some comments that were made in mind when I got on my knees and prayed this prayer this week to understand again that there are some that need that. There are some reprobate minds in this world. Again, to pray and ask for judgment upon them. That's in God's hand, and to give them over into that. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. This is serious stuff. And again, understand that those that are, again, opposing to God, they're on this railroad track right here, and they're headed down that rail, and there's no turning except God turn them. And so again, when we look at their direction, look at the destruction that's coming in their lives. Look at, again, even the sodomite that's tangled up in this, and understand that it is a life of pure destruction. And although our society and Hollywood itself tries to paint it all up as normal and happy, it is a life of destruction. It is a cursed life from God. God has cursed it. And again, for us to understand that, and also to recognize that He can still free them from that curse. I forgot who I was talking to, but we was talking about what a reprobate mind is. I was taught at my church, I'll not even mention its name right now, but when I was a young person, that there's no need to witness to homosexuals because God won't save them. Listen, that was a wrong teaching from my church. God can save anybody. And understand again that we never dare be in a position where we'd curse someone to hell without being a witness. Understand that some mom or some grandmom could get alone in a prayer closet and change the destiny of their children. And we dare not again take that away and say, no, God's given them up to a reprobate mind. He's given them over and there's no coming back. Listen, while there's breath, there's always a coming back. Boy, we need to be witnesses. We need again to tell of the saving grace of God, and He can do that. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because he hath remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with a garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as a garment which covereth him, for a girdle wherewith he's girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries. That's not mine.
That's God.
That's the adversaries of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that oppose his cross. Those that oppose his love. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord Jehovah, and of them that speak evil against my soul. That again is the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, we have a bit of a turning. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, do thou for me, O Jehovah, the Lord, my owner. Watch the wording there carefully. For thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Now stop right there and understand that we haven't switched from looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as the first person recipient of this psalm. And again, understand when it says there that I am like the shadow when it declineth. Understand what he took up for us when he died on that cross. When God turned his back on his only begotten Son, and he said, why hast thou forsaken me? I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Certainly we know the application of that directly to be the cross of Calvary. Help me, O Lord my God. Help me, O Jehovah my Elohim, my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, and thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse and bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul.
Wow.
That's a psalm altogether fitting for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that again is who this world is warring against. And that is who the Democratic Party has sided with, in not only in name, but in purpose and in direction. That is what a progressive liberal has chosen as its platform, a godless platform, an opposition of God. Everything that they have accused Donald Trump of, they have done themselves first. Everything, again, you look back at the history even of the Democratic Party and where they stood on slavery, on the KKK. You look at everything that they've stood for all through the history. Take a history lesson and understand that it is the wrong side. We are not in a democrat society. We are a republic. And again, that's the form of government that we sit under, is a republic. It's got representatives. And we don't do whatever all the people say, hey, this is what's best. We don't take a vote for a democracy and say we're going to do what all the people want to do. What all the people want to do is wickedness. It's evil. And again, as we look at just the pretense and everything that's going on in our society, and it'll come to light even today at the funeral. Notice again that we need a clarity of mind and of thought, even to be witnesses on this day of God's saving grace. There's a whole bunch of people, I know my neighbors are pondering, what's going on here? They don't understand. They're lost. They're heathen, as it were. And they don't understand what's going on in our society. And they're questioning. And they don't want to be on the side of hatred. And there are those who want to be there and are happy there. But even them, they need to hear the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to cut through all the dross, and we need again to just be clear and concise when we talk again about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and age. That's our purpose. And that's just kind of what I want to emphasize here today, that as we see things unfold in this day and in this country, and I don't see a big direction coming from a lot of the party. They're trying to reform, the Democratic Party is trying to reform itself and make it something that's not offensive. They're not doing well at that at all. But again, to understand that our country is divided. And you and I have the gospel. And there are people out there hungry. Listen, there are sodomites out there that are hungry for the truth and need the truth. There are those wearing tattoos from toe to nose that need to hear the truth. And we dare not back down from any situation, but give them the gospel. Because God can save anybody. And what does he use to do that? He uses his word. And he uses the likes of you and I to be his witnesses. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I said that to somebody, I forgot who I was talking to, that we too often stop there. It's good to be a new creature. But boy, don't forget our purpose, that we could be ministers of reconciliation. And that's not reconciliating fights between Christians, although, man, that seems to be necessary sometimes today. But that we could reconcile the lost to Christ and see some sins buried and see heaven a little richer and hell a little poorer because of our witness and our love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got salvation. Don't you wish everybody did? Father, praise you and thank you for what we looked at here today. I lift up to you our country and ask, Father, that you'd move. I lift up again the speakers at this funeral this afternoon and ask again that you'd touch tongues and anoint with your presence and your power. I pray that you'd be with Pastor McCoy, especially, Father, that you'd anoint him with power from on high. And cause again, Father, that he could say what needs to be said in the power of the Holy Spirit, that he could rehearse your words in such a way, Father, that it have an impact. Yea, on 100,000 that are gathered there in the Colosseum, but more across this world, Father. Thank you for the 39 countries that had chapters for Turning Point. And ask, Father, again that you touch every one of those countries with the events that are unfolding in these next couple hours. I pray that you touch the lips of our president and his tongue as he would speak. Father, that this time, perhaps he could be your vessel and used again. Father, I pray again that you'd guard his tongue and use it again to turn our country, to turn hearts towards thee. I pray that you'd be with the tongue of J.D. Vance, each of these tremendous orators. But I pray again, Father, that you'd use their oration to magnify your Son and to lift him up. And Father, that we could see a miracle today. I pray that you'd be with those who would oppose you, especially on this day, those that would demonstrate there, those that would even riot, those that would even kill, Father. And I pray again that you'd bring them the fruits that we just read here in this psalm, but also, Father, that you would again turn hearts of America and open eyes of America, even through their hatred and their despise of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior. Father, first and foremost, be with us. We want to be your witnesses. Give us power. Give us opportunity to talk about your saving grace. Yea, and this week, we're going to step into a week now that's going to be enthralled in controversy and debate. Help again, Father, that we take every opportunity to lift up the name of your Son, our Savior, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, amen, amen. Let's stand and dismiss as we begun. Christ for me, praise the Lord. Yes, it's Christ for me. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Lord bless you for being in church today.